Can you feel the Spirit of God in this place this morning?
Yes.
Well, I can. Alice, thank you for those words of conviction, courage, and love. You know, I have told y'all before that how I feel about y'all, how I love this church, and I love each one of you, and I usually feel that from you guys, but just about the moment that, you know, I need that reinforced, God comes through. This morning, got a gift that just told me how people feel about me. Sal and Joanna Moncada gave me a folding pocket comb from Mr. Getty's. I told them I didn't have one, but I'd been meaning to get one. I can't tell you how this touched me deep down. You know, it's for most people. It's a see that isn't that cool, man? You little switchblade, man. For most, it's a comb. For me, it's a head scratcher. But that touched me. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of me over at Mr. Getty's. We are a spiritual people, aren't we? Folding pocket combs for the preacher. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 23. Probably the most well-known scripture that we started a series last week. I'll get to that here in just a second. But Psalms 23. Now, I think I freaked some of you out last week because I read Psalms 23 from the NIV version. And I've had some comments, some feedback, some questions, and this and that. And we all probably, especially if you're, you know, 30 or older, you've probably learned that psalm in the King James Version. And I read it in the NIV last week, and I think Jesus isn't coming back, you know, because I read it in NIV. So, but this week I want to read it to you from the New King James Version. Now, we're going to have that on the screen. That may not be the Bible that you have, and that's okay. The New King James reads very much like the King James, except it takes out the maketh and the leadeth and replaces it with more modern language. So stretch with me here just a little bit. Beginning in verse 1, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We know that you are here, but we ask you to speak in power and authority. Give us ears to hear. Change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm continuing. We're going to work our way all the way through Psalm 23. And I've titled this sermon series, Sheepish. Sheepish, that's kind of hard to say. Life Lessons from Psalm 23. Now, last week we took verse 1, which is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we talked about how we are like sheep. We are like sheep. And one thing about sheep that we found out last week is that's not a compliment. I mean, it's really not a compliment. Throughout the Bible, we are referred to as sheep. Jesus himself refers to himself as the good shepherd. And sheep are rather helpless and ignorant. They're just kind of these helpless animals. But we learned how we are like sheep and we are in need of a shepherd. We learned that Jesus is not only a shepherd, but he's a personal and intimate shepherd that cares for his sheep. We understood last week that we are called to surrender to the care of the shepherd, and the result of that is contentment. I shall not want. I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. Today we'll take a look at verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In short, to summarize this passage today, the word peace. The shepherd provides peace. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at it this way. It kind of really startled me when I realized this as I was preparing for this series, that I've heard that psalm, you know, many, many times. I've used it in, especially at funeral services, many, many times. And I had never really thought about the fact that David is writing it from the perspective of a sheep. We are sheep. David was a sheep. Even though David had been a shepherd, and he was drawing from the knowledge of his childhood of being a boyhood shepherd, he writes from that perspective. And I was trying to think, what can I do that really that cements this this image into our minds that we are sheep? And I came across this video. Go ahead and roll the videotape.
Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. 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 He's got a flock of lambs who know him, rub his head to steal him from his hand. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Went through the fence looking for some friends. God saw me scram, so he brought me back again, cause I'm alive. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. You got to follow where he's going, God will take you in the promised land. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs.
Ba 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 ba, we're lambs.
Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. He's got a flock of lambs who know him, robbers can't steal him from his hand. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs.
Scratch it, Carl, scratch it.
Tried many moves, tried getting loose, tried petting zoos, but I knew they wouldn't do, cause I'm a lamb. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. You gotta follow where he's going, God will take you in the promised land. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs.
Ba 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 ba, we're lambs.
Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba ba, we're lambs. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. He's got a flock of lambs who know him, robbers can't steal him from his hand. Ba 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 ba, we're lambs. Ba, we're lambs. Ba, we're lambs. Ba, we're lambs.
God says it's okay to laugh in church. Did you know that? It's okay to have fun in church. I made the mistake of previewing that for my wife a few days ago, and I have heard that song from her for 4 days straight. We go to bed, and she's, ba, ba, ba. So, Cheryl, you do it much better than they did it on the tape. You know you're going to be singing that this week. What's that? Yeah, 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 we can do that. Sheep, we are sheep. There's an interesting book, if you have not come across this book, it's an easy read, and it's just packed full of interesting thoughts about this Psalm 23. And the name of the book is A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And it's by, it was written, I believe, in about 1970. So it's an older book, but it was written by a man named Philip Keller. And he was a shepherd. He raised sheep growing up. And he understands so many things about sheep, and he ties it all into Psalm 23 and why God might use that analogy of sheep and the shepherd to describe us. One of the things that I want to hit real quick is that Keller points out that one of the things about sheep is they are not natural born sleepers. They have to have all of these, he said, mainly four things have to be in place for a sheep to find rest. And here they are. The first thing they have to have is they have to be free from the fear of attack. Free from the fear of attack. There's so many, as I talked about last week, sheep have so many predators and so many enemies. And he talked about how he had seen two wild dogs kill one time 247 of his sheep in one night. Dogs. And how sheep don't have really a defense mechanism. They don't have sharp claws or fangs or any of those kinds of things. They don't have like a skunk I was talked about last week, just even an odor to deter people. They are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. So they have to feel safe to find rest. They also must be free from friction and tension within the flock. He talked about how the older, more dominant sheep will, if one of the younger, smaller sheep is in a nice soft spot or where there's, you know, where there's good drinking water or whatever, and the older, stronger sheep wants that, how they'll come and they'll butt them out of the way and they take control of that area. And there's something about that they need to have this. They need to be free from the friction and tension of the rest of the flock. You know, it's I think about how Christ says the first should be last and the last should be first. There's something to be learned there. That's maybe another Sunday. The third thing for sheep to find rest is they must be free from aggravations. He talked about how if they have gnats or flies or anything like that, any pests that are just kind of bothering them, that they can't rest. And what happens is the sheep begin to lose weight. They begin to their health begins to suffer, and because they can't rest. The fourth thing sheep need to rest is they need to be free from hunger. They need to be full. They need to be full. Does that sound like anybody you know? Does that sound like us? Free from attack, free from friction and tension within the flock. How many of us lose sleep because we're worried what someone did to us or thinks about us? We're worried more about pleasing the other lambs than we are pleasing the shepherd. How many of us, if our physical needs are not met, we have trouble resting? Sounds a little bit like humans. I'm not sure, but just for me it did. I guess that's, Keller goes on to point out that to his knowledge, there's only two mammals that really, most mammals have an easy time of sleeping. I mean, it gets quiet for a second, and they just, you know, cats sleep like, 23 and a half hours a day or something, you know? But he talked about how humans and sheep are the ones that seem to have this trouble. I guess that's why humans, that's why I guess we count sheep, because they're awake too. So we count. This is a bad joke. Sorry. What? Serta. Okay, the Serta Mathers. That's worse than my joke, Jimmy. This is what, listen to this observation that Keller made. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. Hello. There's something about the presence of the shepherd who has his goal is for the well-being of the sheep. There's something about just, he said that if he wasn't there, if he was looking from a distance, he could see those other sheep nudging them out of the way and taking control and being dominant. But whenever the shepherd walked into the field, they all settled in. And he talked about how that many times he would literally, I don't know if you remember the passage where Christ is born, and it says there were shepherds abiding in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. He talked about how many times he would find himself sitting out on a blanket in the middle of the field if there were coyotes in the area or packs of wild dogs or whatever, he would find himself sitting out in the field with his sheep protecting them, and it just brought peace to them. So how do we get there? Does anybody want to be there besides me? Does anybody want peace in their life that only the shepherd can bring? Beyond our circumstances? Because Jesus himself said it, in this world you will have trouble. Has anybody else encountered that? Just me? Am I the only one that's had trouble in this world? In this world, we will have trouble. But the shepherd wants to provide us peace. How do we get there? First thing, surrender to the lordship and leadership of the good shepherd. Surrender to the leadership of the good shepherd. David says it here, and he's drawing on his experience as a shepherd, as a boy, and he's writing from the sheep's perspective, and he says, he makes me to lie down. He leads me beside. There's something about that shepherd surrendering to the leadership and the care of the good shepherd. You know, one of the things that the sheep instinctively understand is the shepherd is here to protect and care for us. They instinctively understand that. Keller tells about what I call the discontented ewe. He said he had this sheep, and she was a beauty. I mean, you know, her markings and her configuration and her coloring and she was healthy, and he said she was one of his best use, and he talked about how she had everything going for her, everything. But she was the ultimate of sheep. But he said she always was wanting to get to the other pasture. He said, I took great pride in providing the best pastures of any other sheep herder in my whole region. My pastures were the primo pastures. But she always wanted to get on that pasture. And she would bust through fences. She would finagle her way. And he was constantly having to draw her back to the pasture that he had provided for her, because she was always discontented where she was, and she wanted to be over there. And what ended up happening is every time she would have lambs, she would teach them the same behavior. And the other sheep began to mimic her. And he was just found himself constantly having to deal with the discontentedness of this sheep and the ones she had influenced. Probably not the greatest thing for you to hear, but you know what happened to that sheep? It's supper time. Eventually he gave up, and he just said, he went and got his knife and he butchered the lamb. The lamb had everything. The shepherd had provided everything for the lamb. They had rich green fields. They had great, clear, healthy water. If they had gnats or flies, he would treat them and he would keep them away from them. He would keep the predators away. He would do everything he can. But this lamb would not find contentment. I want that. Even though that wasn't as good as what they had. Jesus wants us to surrender to his leadership. Second thing, to celebrate the peace that the shepherd provides. Do we understand we have a good shepherd that knows our voice, cares enough to know our voice, and would lay down his life and has laid down his life for us? That's the shepherd that we have. Keller goes on to talk about this neighboring flock. He said, I'll never forget this neighboring flock of sheep. The man that owned them and provided for them, his philosophy was buy the sheep, just throw them out there on the pasture, whatever the pasture, they'll find something to eat, they'll find something to drink. They'll take care of themselves. They'll take care of the predators. They'll take care of the gnats and the flies. He just threw them out there in the pasture, and they fend for themselves. And he said he remembers one day he pulled up, and he remembers that whole neighbor's flock of sheep standing at the fence looking over into his pasture, longing to be in that field with those sheep. Do we understand the field that our shepherd has provided for us? I was visiting with the Sunday school class this morning, and we were talking, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I remember saying to them and just celebrating the difference that God has made in my family. And I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about any doing, being good, any of those things that we mistake for a relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember my girls were 2 and 4 when Jesus really came into my heart and really changed me and made me a different daddy and a different husband and a different man. And I'm so thankful I live in that pasture. I'm so thankful I'm one of his sheep. And I tell you what, as Keller's heart broke for those sheep yearning to be in his pasture, my heart breaks for the sheep that aren't in the good shepherd's pasture. Does your heart break for them? Does it break? Or is it just, I'll come to church if it's convenient. I'll be good if I can't get away with it. I mean, what is our walk with Christ? What is Christianity? Is that what it's about? Is that it? No. It's so much more than that. It's understanding that we live in this pasture of abundance because of the Good Shepherd. And wanting that for the other lambs. Come and feed with us. Come and celebrate with us. Bask in our goodness that our shepherd has provided. Do we have that kind of a yearning in our heart? Is that why we're here this morning? I hope it is. If I were guessing, I would say it is for some of us, and it isn't for some of us. Check our motives. The third thing, how do we get to this peace? Identify your green pastures and your still waters. Identify them. So I encourage you, I know it sounds, I mean, it's kind of the answer for so many things in our life, but press into God. And that's something that in 2012 I'm trying to notch it up in my own personal life. I'm trying to notch it up, my pressing in. Because I'm just confessing here, sometimes as in ministry, it can become just about serving and trying to, you know, have a healthy church and love on people, and those are all great things and good things, but I'm trying to notch it up. It's like, press, I want more, God. I want more of you. And I pray that that's your heart. We want to identify our green pastures and our still waters, which what that means is identify and proactively pursue ways that Christ replenishes your soul. Proactively pursue. You know, there's many things that I would like to do, and I play the guitar and I play the bass guitar and I just kind of hack around on those. But I've always like, man, I wish I could play the piano. I'd really like to play the piano. I'd really like to play the drums. I'd really wish I was a better golfer Well, me wishing for it doesn't do anything, does it? I'm still the lousy piano player that I was yesterday. The only way for me to ever learn how to play the piano, and if that's really what I want, if that's my heart's desire, is to press in, to practice, to get a plan, to proactively pursue the gift of playing the piano. Find people that are already good at playing the piano that can help me learn how to play the piano. Anybody listening? Anybody hear any of this? Do we do that with our walk with Christ? Do you have people identified in your life and you go, man, I want a marriage like that. I want to be able to handle circumstances that come against me like that person. Do you have people like that in your life? I know a lot of them are sitting right here in this room. A lot of people that you can emulate and you could use as mentors. Identify and proactively pursue ways that Christ replenishes you. Seek out ways that God fills your cup. You know, the one thing about us is we leak. Did you know that? If you're full of God today, if it's just, oh, my cup is overflowing, guess what? You leak. You never knew that about yourself, did you? And we hope that you don't do it in the pews, in the chairs. But we do. Spiritually, we leak. Did you know that you're going to be either closer or further away from God tomorrow than you are today? You don't arrive and graduate. It's a relationship. How many of you, if you didn't talk to your spouse or your best friend or your sibling or somebody like that you had a very close relationship? How many, if you didn't talk to them for a year or two, how many of you think your relationship would be the same? It wouldn't suffer. I mean, we leak, and we need to constantly be filling our cup, filling our cup, filling our cup, filling our cup. Find those ways that you do that. And I love this. Y'all have heard me use this term before. It comes from H.B. London, which was just retired from Focus on the Family, and we've gotten the privilege of getting to meet H.B. He's James Dobson's cousin, great man of God, ministers to pastors, but he has this great thing, he says, avoid joy suckers. I love that term. Don't you love that? Avoid joy suckers. I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to hate joy suckers. It just means I really don't want to hang out with joy suckers. You know, I'll love you, and I'll do what I can to minister to you, but if you want to be a joy sucker, you do it over there. And even more so, don't be joy suckers. That's even more important than avoiding joy suckers. Identify our green pastures and still waters. And also identify false watering holes. There's a story to that. Keller tells about one time he was taking his herd, his flock of sheep, and they were hit. He said in their country, I don't even remember where he said that he was raising them, but many times it's like around here you see people and they'll dig tanks, stock tanks, to water their stock. Well, they had to do something similar. They had prepared watering holes for their sheep, and he said I had tapped into this underground stream, and he said, man, I had provided this watering hole, and he said it was primo water. It was spring fed. It was clean. It was cool, and he said it was the perfect place to take my sheep and to have them water. And he said on the way down, there's this trail leading down to this watering hole, and there was, because of the volume of the sheep that had been going, many of them, and there had been dew on the ground or rain or something, and many of them had left footprints, and there was muddy footprints with old muddy, gunky water that probably disease infested or whatever. And he said many of his sheep would step off the trail and begin to partake in the muddy hoof prints. And he was leading them to fresh, clean, cool water. How many of us drinking out of muddy footprints? I feel like the Lord is convicting some hearts right now with some situations that are muddy footprints in our lives. Church, we have a good shepherd. And the one thing that comes to me from this psalm so loud and clear is that this good shepherd, he loves his sheep. And David knew that. David knew that as he had cared for sheep as a little boy, he knew that that's the heart that God wants to care for him and for us. I gave you homework last week. Memorize verse 1 and write it out. And each day to write things, three things, that you were thankful for. Anybody do some of that? Anybody do some of that? A few of you? Good. It's okay. No shame, no guilt if you didn't. This week I want to challenge you to write out verse 2. To write it out, to memorize it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Write it out, say it. And I want you to ask God, show me, God, what does that mean? Show me how you're the good shepherd in my life that provides green pastures and still waters in my life. Show me how you want to do that. Write it out. Write an example each day of your still waters and your green pastures, and pray, ask you to God to lead you to those places. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd and that you provide us shade and green pastures and rich in living water. And we thank you that even more so that you are the living water. Father, I pray that you would deepen us in our understanding of your great love for us and your great care for us. Teach us how to have peace. Teach us how to rest in you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you can stand, and as we close, if you would like to come and pray or have me pray with you, or would like to visit with me about having Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or about our church, please come.
Over the mountains and the sea, your love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. God, help me to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, and I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love.
Could you sing of his love forever? You know, it's great that we love him, but did you know what's even more great and more significant is that he loves us. He loves you. Whether you feel it, whether you think you deserve it, even if you don't want it, he loves you. Go and embrace the Good Shepherd. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up.